This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency might be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now, your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today I'm in the studio with Jim Stephen, Deputy ACIO for Business, Finance, and Security, USDA's OCIO office, the National Information Technology Center. What a mouthful, huh, Jim?
Yeah, it's quite the title. Hard to fit on the business card.
You have one of those, like, fold-out business cards, put all those fancy words in there. I was telling you before the show here, I like to get guests in from a wide range of different organizations and talk about technology for federal IT professionals. And that's why I brought you in to give you more introduction here in a few minutes. But before we begin the interview, just tell us, the listeners here, a little about your background, how you wound up working. It's in Kansas City, Missouri. Is that where you're based?
Yes, it is. Yeah, well, I have a little bit of a different way of how I ended up in IT. I started life active duty Navy as a nuclear engineer. Post my naval career, I went into construction and was actually building data centers and radar sites, et cetera, and came to USDA in 1996 as the facilities engineer, and over time the job somewhat morphed into the IT fields, and after several levels of promotion, I ended up in the position I'm currently at.
That's because I've had people on the air here who all their background was in software development, and they wind up running data centers they know nothing about, about heating and cooling and some of the nuts and bolts of this. And so you came from the other end, from the real hard nuts and bolts area.
Brick and mortar type really. Things. And then, for the past 12 years or so, I've got some knowledge on the IT side, specifically with analyzing business requirements.
Ooh, that's interesting. Let me tell you the origin of this interview, kind of a strange kind of deal here. A while back, I think it was last month, maybe before Christmas, I had Curtis Turner in from govbenefits.gov. And we were talking about, software development. And then all of a sudden I said, well, where's it hosted? And he said, it's hosted with the USDA folks out there. And I said, now, wait a minute, have another agency hosting your website? This seems kind of strange, doesn't it? And he said, yeah, I looked at the vendors, I looked at USDA, and I decided the best bang for the buck was USDA. And I went with them. I said, well, we'll have to get someone in there. And he said, we'll just call up Jim, and next time he's in town, we'll come in for an interview. And that's what I wanted to bring in here, because I think many of my listeners are in the situation where, I tell my friends, is typical federal IT professional, they get to work at 9 o'clock in the morning, they start beating their head in the wall, they go home at 5 o'clock at night, and they're really frustrated. They're getting pushed and pulled, their budgets are getting pulled back, they're told to do things, they're told that everyone's going to the cloud, you have to go to the cloud, even if it doesn't apply, it's really difficult. And if you have to go to the cloud, you have to make some decisions about what's going to host some of your sites. And I want to get some best practices from you on how to select vendors, I guess, or organizations that can help with hosting sites like that. Tell us about the facility USDA has out in the Midwest.
Well, our primary production site is in Kansas City, Missouri. It's a Tier 4 data center. We meet all of the FISMA requirements. We go through annual audits by the USDA's OIG and third-party audits. So we fill that niche for, the really high critical apps that agencies have. And we believe we're competitive from the cost standpoint as well.
Is this similar to some things that the GSA is doing, is that they're offering services to other agencies and competing, I guess, with our agency-owned staff? Or where does USDA fit in with this tier center out there?
Well, the National Information Technology Center is a totally fee-for-service agency. We do compete for federal sector business. GSA has similar offerings. There's a few other federal entities that do this line of work as well, and the VA Center in Austin, Bureau of Public Debt, et cetera. We think that we're fairly competitive. We've competed against both public and private sector hosting facilities, and we think that working closely with our customers, we give them the best kind of value for the dollar.
Really kind of interesting that when we had Curtis in here, he said, well, he thought that the USDA folks really had a very deep and thorough understanding of FSMA, and maybe the organizations that he was looking at comparing with didn't really have as deep an understanding of it. And I guess that's one leg up you have on the competitors out there. I mean, if you're competing with other organizations, because you got it.
And, you know, I think looking at it from the industry terms, they understand they need to get there. You know, it is always progressive year to year. You're doing continuous improvement on meeting those. You know, the NIST 853 came out with a whole new family and set of guidelines this year. So again, you know, we have to start looking at those and start documenting how we meet those control objectives as well.
So you are the deputy ACO for business, finance, and security. Well, that seems like a lot of hats.
Well, the National Information Technology Center, I have a deputy that's a peer of mine at the center who is over all the operational divisions, things like system administrators, database administrators, mainframe support specialists, service desk, etc. And the other three divisions I have oversight responsibilities for.
When it comes to hosting services, do you actually advertise, or how do people even find? For example, if I went to the Department of Interior and started talking to those folks, and they wanted to host a SharePoint server somewhere or some kind of a server somewhere, how would they contact you? How do you even find out about USDA?
Well, you know, a lot of it's been generic, organic growth, word of mouth growth. We do have a website, but we also have a marketing function to get out there and, you know, at least make people aware of some of the offerings we have that could meet their needs.
And one data center in the middle of the country, East Coast, West Coast, or
well,
how
we
can figure
the primary production site in Kansas City. We have a DR fail oversight in St. Louis, Missouri. We have a small development type center in Beltsville, Maryland. But we primarily focus on the two data centers in Missouri. They're about 285 miles apart, so it meets that separation that most people are looking for their DR requirements.
When I think of large data centers, I think of May East and May West and being close to the pipes. I guess there's not a whole lot of issue there with speed when you're in the middle of the country, is there?
Not really. I think we're pretty fortunate in our geographic placement. There's a lot of bandwidth moving east to west across the country that does happen to come through both St. Louis and Kansas City.
That's good. Today I'm here with Jim Stephen, who's the deputy ACIO for Business, Finance, and Security at USDA's OCIO office, the National Information Technology Center in the Midwest in Missouri. And we grabbed him here. He's in between flights, and we want him to talk about some of the successes he's had out there using his services for agencies that aren't USDA-type agencies. They're different agencies all across the federal government. You know, a year or two ago, I had people from Department of Energy in here. We talked about Energy Star compliance and Energy Star applications, and the whole topic of energy in a data center seems to be important. It's a topic I haven't talked about enough. Tell us what your thoughts are. I mean, at what point in time is it worthwhile for my listeners to upgrade, not to upgrade? What kind of metrics can they use to evaluate how efficient their data centers are?
Well, there is some methodologies to calculate how efficient you are. If you go out and look at EPA's website, we've been working with them on Energy Star certifications for data centers. There's PUE ratings, which are power utilization efficiency ratings, that with the Energy Act, you do need to get down closer to 1.7 in that ratio coming up here in the next year or so. And there's some things you can do that are easy, low-hanging fruit things that can help you get there if you are a data center owner.
I read some statistics lately where what you pay for the server, what your agency pays for the server, may not cover what you'll pay to heat it and cool it in the next 3 or 4 years.
Oh, absolutely. It can be significant. You know, as the servers get more powerful and smaller, you end up with the point cooling and power issues because, you know, a rack of these dense computers can really put significant heat out into the data center.
And I think the density has to skyrocket once you talk about a consolidation and using virtual servers, and all of a sudden using a lot more of the cycles and CPU than normal. You have to worry more about heating and cooling with all that the virtualization.
Absolutely, and there's some technologies out there that we're utilizing, the in-row cooling, that can help you get away from those point heating and cooling problems. But you really need, you know, a strong engineering staff to make sure you're laying the center out right. You have power density to match where the technology trends are moving forward. You know, just 10, 12 years ago, it was pretty common to build your data center out at 20 watts per square foot. And today, you know, 150 or 200 watts per square foot is more the norm.
Wow. Because of virtualization or why?
Yeah, virtualization, changing technologies, you know, it's just a more concentrated heating and cooling problem.
You've read all the headlines, and I sure have read them too, that the federal government wants to reduce the number of data centers that are out there, and every agency is trying to look around, and maybe they mislabel a couple of servers as a data center. And how do you think it's going to affect your business out there? I mean, what do you think about this whole concept of consolidation? Is that good or bad for the typical folks that listen to the show here?
Well, I think it is a good thing overall. You know, if you're looking at green stewardship, we're going to reduce the environmental footprint that we have. We at USDA, we have a lot of small little computer rooms and closets that are in, you know, downtown Metro DC area where office space is at a premium, and we can really take critical apps out of the district, move them to high tier rated data centers, and return that space over for, you know, the critical office shortages we're facing within USDA.
And all of a sudden that does reduce, I mean, the number is 2,100 data centers in the federal government, which seems kind of high to me, but maybe it is a couple of servers sitting in a closet in downtown DC and they close it down. And all of a sudden what happens is in a data center, it can be patched more efficiently, it can be backed up more efficiently, it can be managed more efficiently.
Absolutely. You know, there's centralized patching, as you stated. It can move into a shared cloud environment. A lot of these servers are running at, you know, 10% utilization. You know, we as a government are investing a lot of money into hardware, and then we never use its whole capacity.
And in the commercial world and the government world as well, I'm sure there are servers out there that are not being used but are being patched.
I wouldn't doubt it.
So what you have to do probably is take a very careful survey of what exactly you're using and not using, and consider whether or not to reduce your servers and transfer to someone like your organization. I carry this article around for just about every interview talks about. The Washington Post had this article in November of last year, agencies looking for a cloud option. And I think it's important that my listeners know that it's just an option. I don't know if every single application out there has an end purpose in the cloud or not. I just see a lot of people getting pushed in this whole cloud option that may not be a good fit for all the people listening, should it?
Well, I can't say that everything will work in the cloud. I mean, you have to look at application by application, whether it is a fit for a cloud-based solution or not. You know, I would say a very high percentage of the apps that are out there will be a fit for at least a private cloud within a given department or agency, may not fit out in the public cloud due to security concerns.
So we know you're hosting benefits.gov. Any other agencies that you're working with besides those folks? I think they're over at labor. Yeah, I think they're over at labor.
Yeah, we have about 15% of our business is non-USDA right now.
No kidding.
Yes.
I wouldn't have bet that for anything.
And that goes from application development, because we do have an application development division located in Fort Collins, Colorado, all the way through different types of hosting, from colo to agency-owned dedicated equipment to our private cloud offering.
You always hear the term silo computing, but I think mentally when you're working for an agency, you have this silo of either it's in your agency or it's not your agency, and usually it's in another organization, whether it's Amazon or whatever kind of flavor of the month happens to be. But I think that's expanding my little brain here. 15%, that's a pretty good chunk.
Yeah, it's pretty significant. And we've been cross-servicing other departments since the mid to late 90s when FAA came in with the old Iceman contract in 97, I believe it was.
And they started using your service as well. What kind of challenges do you think can happen with, for example, handheld devices? Is that ever on your radar as far as managing those in your facility?
We are actively looking at that. The USDA has an innovations team that's looking at mobile computing. We know there's a clear need for it, and how are we going to address that along with keeping, you know, ourselves secure from all malicious activity. So there's a lot of things to work out, John. You know, that one's something that we're going to put a lot of attention to in this FY. There's a whole team set up to start working through that project.
In January, the CES show is going on right now, I think. 125,000, 130,000 people. Apple didn't show up, and Microsoft shows up. And I never think of Microsoft as being a consumer-type company, but the real classic consumer company doesn't show up. And the focus there is on a whole wide range of handheld devices, including smartphones and tablets, which I think it's got to be a challenge for all our listeners, trying to manage all that data. And much of that data is not sitting in the handheld device. It's sitting in a server somewhere, maybe a server in Missouri.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, right now, personally, I'm one of the pilot users of a tablet, and you know, it really has improved my efficiency, especially when I'm in travel mode like this. I don't have to lug a full-scale laptop device around, and it's easy in and out of meetings with a small tablet. You can take your notes. You can pull down apps to help you be more productive. So we need to be able to support that, and just working through and doing it in a secure manner is the key.
That is the phrase. That's where FSMA pops in. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today we have Jim Stephen in the studio. He's the Deputy ACIO for Business Finance and Security, USDA's OCIO office, National Information Technology Center. We got him in between flights. He works and lives in Missouri, and we thought we'd drag him in the studio today and talk about some of the successes he's had in hosting other organizations, other agencies' websites. And there's a thought that just came in with me. Well, what about commercial applications? I guess not hosting any commercial sites there yet, huh?
No.
No, not there, John.
Definitely that's outside of yeah, anything that we consider hosting, and I don't believe we're allowed to even consider.
I don't think so. You know, the reason I had Jim in the studio is to let my listeners maybe open their mind up to a different way of solving a problem. So if you're sitting in Bethesda or you're sitting in downtown D.C., you're trying to figure out where to host a website or some kind of a new deployment, you might want to consider going against the grain and looking at hosting with a different agency rather than your own, or and not even considering a commercial one. You can go to USDA.gov and get more information. Or what's the best site to go to? The OCIO.USA.gov, or where would they go?
Well, under USDA.gov, if you link through to OCIO and look at Enterprise Solutions, that'll point out some of the things we offer at National Information Technology Center. Or if you just prefer the personal touch, you know, please call 1-888-USE-NITC.
USE-NITC. That sounds like a commercial company to me, but I'm not going to say anything. Next thing you know, you can have like skywriting and trucks going by in downtown D.C.
No, we don't have that kind of marketing budget.
A marketing budget. Isn't that something? Tell me about security and FSMA. I always like to get my crystal ball out and see what's going to go on in the future. We've had Ron Ross on the air here several times, and he writes up all these standards. I mean, what's going to happen to folks like you when worrying about FSMA in 2 or 3 years? I mean, how much is it going to change? Wireless technologies are changing. Handheld devices are changing. Instead of static designs, where do you think it's going to head anyway?
Well, you know, I think you hit it with the wireless and mobile computing. That's our next big challenge. But we're kind of excited about that. You know, we've worked through over the years to improve our footing from a security posture, and we think we're pretty strong right now. And with a team that's cross cuts all of USDA, we're gonna start taking on these mobile apps and see how we can deliver those services to our customers.
So if I'm sitting in Northern Virginia working for a federal agency and considering using something like Amazon or Microsoft, if I contract with Amazon, I'm not really sure where my data will be stored. Will it be in the United States? Will it be outside the United States? Will it be split? Will it be physically in an insecure area because of the dynamic nature of cloud computing? It's really kind of fuzzy. I guess that's, you know, on the checklist, that's a reassuring checklist that, hey, it's going to be in the USDA. It's going to be in a federal government facility that's secure in the Midwest. Pretty
absolutely
safe.
Absolutely, John. Absolutely. You know, the we think that we have a good niche in the cloud computing market that is going to be for moderate and high apps could be the choice for our customers.
So do yourself do you see yourself competing for business with regular commercial vendors in this area?
We do from time to time already. You know, we do monitor Fed BizOps and things that are a good fit for us. We will do a formal RFP and put the proposal in. You know, as a federal entity, we have to use the A76 methodology and add use the compare software, which adds on a lot of things so that we're not just undermining the private sector. You know, it's for a fair compete and put us on an even footing with the private sector.
It would seem to me that the private sector might say, well, because they can buy newer technology, newer servers, newer hard drives are going to be more efficient than you. But that's not to say that you don't have a budget for new servers and your ability to comply with the federal requirements might supersede those of a commercial organization, I would think.
Well, I think our meeting of the federal requirements is our foot up on some of the private sector. They're making great strides at getting there, but you know, that's not to say that they won't eventually get there, but in many regards, we're already there.
Do you see the future of security in viruses or in protecting people from malicious websites, or where do you see this whole world of security heading?
Well, I think it's somewhat a cyber war on all fronts, you know, whether it's viruses, hackers, nation state sponsored cyber terrorism. You know, it's really something new every day, but it's across a wide front in that battle.
As I imagine, positioned where you're at, you've seen a lot of interesting security situations that you may or may not want to share. I mean, because you've seen from the hardware perspective to the software perspective, different agencies coming and going. I mean, you probably have a unique perspective better than others in seeing where these threats are originating and how they can attack people.
Well, absolutely. I do have involvement in many of the threats that we're identifying, you know, that are at least coming into the data centers across USDA. And that's why I just refer back, you know, that they come from every direction that we've all heard about that have been in the trade and vendor websites, et cetera, that are publicized pretty well. So I would say, you know, without getting into specifics, you kind of nailed it. They're coming in across the board through worms, viruses, hackers, and sponsored cyber activities.
I think everyone would like to interview you off the air and find out what the real scoop is. I think we can read between the lines that someone's been in your position has seen attacks from many different levels. And I think that's it just underscores the reason why I think this FISMA and knowledge of FISMA and future practices is going to put you in good stead for the future as far as hosting other organizations' websites. I'd like to thank you for coming in the studio today. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, live and in person, Jim Stephen, Deputy ACIO for Business, Finance, and Security, USDA's OCIO Office, National Information Technology Center. Thanks, Jim.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Solutions Developers Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.